lonely cast. We're not lonely. We have each other, Kim. No. It's the Glossed Cast.
It's so quiet in here.
It is so quiet. It's almost eerie.
Yes, it is.
It's super dry out. It's probably the pick of the summer for a day outdoors. We're indoors taping the Glossed Cast. The last weekend of September.
Right, yeah.
Of August, I mean, of the summer. Going into September. Next week is the Schooner Festival. But it's legit the pick of, I think this particular day is just perfect.
It's perfect. It's not too hot. It's just, and it's going to be beautiful like this all day, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, the last week of August, usually August is a hot month.
It's usually sweltering.
Sweltering.
Like, right. Like it's, you know, the beaches are packed. And yesterday I went by Good Harbor and, you know, it was just a modest amount of people there.
Kate and I were there, I would say around noontime. And I think I said to her, I don't think there's 40 people on this entire beach.
It was a gorgeous day. But I think when it's not super hot, people don't have that like, oh, we got to get to the beach, we got to cool down.
Well, so when you woke up the morning yesterday, I was freezing yesterday morning.
Sweaters.
And Kate went for a walk. I stacked firewood and when you got outside as the day got to noontime, it was just perfect.
It was just
at the
perfect.
Beach. Not
yeah.
You weren't sweating.
Right.
You were just comfortable.
Right. Well, also, the water's a little cold right now. Like, usually I think it's warmer in August, at the end of August. And I feel like it's just suddenly dropped, like, 3 or 4 degrees. It's just that much colder that makes it hard for me. Like, Tom goes swimming every day, but I need it to be just a little bit warmer.
You don't want the ankles to be feel like they're so, like, right. If they get tapped by something, they're just going to shatter.
Right? I don't like that.
No, who does? But we're coming into Schooner Festival weekend. But the mornings have been so dry, and I just love that. I love the weather of the dry falls. I mean, it's just pretty.
It seems like it's starting a little early this year. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we still could get like the dog days of August and September.
We absolutely could. and it happens more often. You think this could be a total, because this week, if you look at the weather thing,
it says
70s
every day,
like low 70s every day for this next week coming. And but you totally could get lured into that false sense of security and get some 90s.
Yes.
In September.
Yeah.
But the funny thing about that is it doesn't matter how hot it is in September, the beach, you could have a semi-misting day the last weekend in August, and you could have a picture-perfect beach day the first weekend of September, and you're going to have 75% less people on the beach.
In September.
People just, it goes out of their brains to go to the beach.
Right.
Which is great for locals,
right.
If you still take advantage of it.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's September. Well, anywhere in New England, September is beautiful. Mm. But I would never leave Gloucester in September. Never.
You know, it's funny. Like I have, like it, when the girls are playing soccer up at, you know, out of town, and I pick up the girls out of town, and I feel like I have barely left the East Gloucester, and I love it. I mean, I love, and it's oh, when I was younger, though, like I remember my dad didn't want, he lived in East Gloucester, like actually next to the house that we ended up buying.
Yeah.
And I remember him really not wanting to go anywhere or anything. And I always wanted to go places and do things. What is going on? And now I totally get it. I think when you're settled in at a nice house,
we turn into our parents. Right?
Turn into your parents.
Right.
But I mean, why do you have to? Why would you feel the need to leave beautiful East Gloucester?
Right.
We have everything.
Right.
I mean,
I agree. Do you know the this is along those lines. You know, the Bartons and Andersons are moving on into Highland Street?
Yes.
Today. Today's their moving day.
Oh, today. I've been seeing posts by him for the past week, it seems like.
They've been trying to pack for a month. I mean, they're having a difficult transition.
Anytime you move is difficult.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, yeah. It's probably one of the worst things you have to go through.
I think, don't they say death, divorce, and moving?
Oh, I never heard that, but I definitely agree with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, moving is pretty tough. That's why I think it's, I didn't do it this last time, but it's worth all the money to pay a mover.
Yeah.
It's worth all, if you have the money.
If you have money.
It's money well spent.
Well, I think I'm going over there this afternoon to help.
Oh, that's sweet.
Folks in the neighborhood are going over, so.
I bet you they have a big turnout of people helping.
I bet so too. Yeah.
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 That's great.
Yeah.
And that's a great little street there.
Oh
too.
Yeah. Yesterday I had the baby in the stroller and I walked from our house to Highland. Nobody was home, but it was just like, oh.
I mean, that neighborhood. You got the Duckworths.
Right.
You got
Dawn.
Yeah.
Dawn and her husband and.
You
Esme
got
and
the Corbetts and right. her and
yeah.
their baby.
Yeah.
You get you have. What, Lotus?
Lotus.
Lotus's Colleen's daughter.
Right.
I mean, you got a bunch of kids there.
Pilar and Frida. They're Mandy and Joff's kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
so amazing.
Sorkin? No, who's on the East Gloucester Square? He's an actor.
Gee, I don't know.
I should know it. Anyway. So there we go. Enough about East Gloucester.
Yeah,
okay. The Schooner Festival is next weekend.
Yeah. So excited. It's up there with Fiesta, in my opinion.
It is. It doesn't attract the crowds that Fiesta attracts, but it is visually, it's such
it's so
a great
beautiful.
Weekend.
It's so beautiful.
I
love every part of it. I love the whole community coming together around the schooners and it's just a beautiful, and it's just the whole harbor and the whole city just seems to sparkle. It's just,
there's not a better picture taking weekend.
Right. Oh, right.
There really isn't.
There really isn't.
This year they have, how many, is it 30?
26.
26, 26. 26
yeah.
schooners.
Yeah.
You've done our contributors have generally covered it. You've done a fantastic job with your videos and stuff. But like when those boats are going back and forth in the middle of the harbor, it is a spectacle. I tell, so Kate's parents were down yesterday. They went to the studio for drinks. And I told them, you're here right now.
Right.
But I'm telling you, next weekend for Schooner Festival is... Just, you're retired now. block it off and come down because it is such a spectacle.
Right. Wow.
You know?
Right. And so are both her parents retired?
Yep, both of her parents are retired. You know, it's funny, they went to Palm Desert. That's where they retired. They go in the winter to Palm Desert.
Oh, I don't know where that is exactly.
Like Palm Springs?
Oh, okay.
Palm Springs, in the California.
Yeah.
Which is, that's pretty far.
Yeah.
To
Do they
go,
like it?
They absolutely love it. It's but I don't know, to go cross country,
spend the winter there.
What's that?
Do they spend the whole winter there?
Yeah, no, they're spending the winters there.
Really?
Yeah, and here's the thing. I think he said like he's just not a Florida guy. Doesn't like Florida, and I'm like. Yeah. What's like? Is there that big of a difference?
Yeah, or why not just go? I don't know. It seems like when the grandkids are playing sports games and stuff like that, they might want to be closer in the wintertime to enjoy that.
Well, maybe there's an ulterior motive. Maybe they don't want to be. Maybe they don't want to get sucked into being babysitters. Nah, that's a joke.
No.
Obviously, that's a joke. But getting back to the there's a Friday night block party. Let's go over the schedule.
Okay.
Schooner Festival is coming up this Friday, starts Friday night, and with all day the vessels will be coming into the harbor.
Harbor, right.
Go down to the Heritage Center, probably the best spot.
Right. And there's, right.
Oh, the Boulevard, yes. Maybe?
Yep. And
walk back and forth between the two?
Yes. Anywhere along any of those, if you know, as close as you can get to the water, anywhere along in there.
Yeah.
Right.
So then there's the
So the block party is Friday night?
The block party is Friday night. I bet you a lot of people aren't kind of, we have to really bang that this week, I guess, because people don't, and they did it, I think, purposely around the
Schooner Festival.
Around the Schooner Festival. Yeah. So,
okay.
I think I'm going to try, maybe I'll bring the kids to that. Saturday, Maritime Gloucester Heritage Day. This,
That's
really family friendly. There's a ton of activities for kids and stuff to do.
I went last year and I was amazed at how wonderful it was.
The kids, I bring my kids whenever I have them that weekend and they love it. Yeah. It's definitely a good take. There's a Carillion concert at Our Lady of Good Voyage on Saturday evening from 5:15 to 5:45.
Okay, those are beautiful.
Yeah.
Like if you're downtown, I mean, wow.
6:30 to 7 p.m. concert on Stacy Boulevard. I didn't know they were doing this. Fireworks.
Oh, the fireworks. Oh, that's why the block party is the night.
Jesus,
before.
It's gonna be a great Gloucester.
Right.
Well, that's Saturday though. The block party. Oh, so the block party is Friday. Saturday is the fireworks.
Fireworks.
And live music and light effects. So that's probably Ringo does that. Oh, he sets up the stage down there.
Right. It's phenomenal.
It's great.
Do you know where a good place to watch the fireworks is from?
The Sleeper McCann House.
Well, I found the Beauport Hotel.
Oh,
it's fantastic.
Yeah.
But then also the little park next to it. What's that little park?
Oh, where the basketball court is? Mm-hmm. On the fort?
Yes, that's also an awesome place.
I never thought it to go there.
Because you're standing right there, and it's like, you know, it's just directly across the harbor where they're letting them off.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's awesome.
That's a good take.
Yeah.
Yeah, good little note there.
Yeah.
The only reason I mentioned the Sleeper McCann House
is because it's in the
show notes. Watch Gloucester's annual Schooner Festival fireworks display from the terrace and lawn of Beauport. Oh, that'll be interesting.
Yeah, not Beauport Hotel, the Beauport Historic House.
Right, on Eastern Point.
On Eastern Point,
I didn't know that they were doing that.
Yeah.
I ought to read the blog more.
Right, because they do that every year.
Do they really?
Yeah.
I didn't realize. 7 p.m., the Boat Parade of Lights. 9:15 p.m., fireworks display over Gloucester Harbor, which is following the Parade of Lights. And then Sunday is the Parade of Sail. Starting 10:30 a.m. The schooners proceed from the Inner Harbor past the Fisherman's Memorial on Stacy Boulevard to the race starting area off Eastern Point. So there's that. I mean, it's such a great take. Oh, look, the post is led with that video that I talked about of your some of your videos. Did you do this post? You did. August 25th. So there you go. I linked to it. So there you have it.
You're so funny. Do you ever read your blog?
I do, but this time of year, you have to. You know how busy I am this time of year. I haven't seen any of my friends. I've barely seen my family.
Yeah, I've not seen any, you know.
I own a Jeep with Eric. I've driven it twice all summer long. It's kind of ridiculous. I mean, it is what it is because it's season. I'm not complaining at all.
Right, but
because I have, you know, we have a successful business. At the same time, it's just.
Yeah.
From now,
until Christmas
from like the time, end of mid July through Christmas, I'm just I have no life.
And we have no bad weather days coming up. So.
Oh, bad weather days. We usually don't get any bad weather days that keep boats in until November.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Occasionally, you get a nice October storm.
nice blizzarding October storm.
And believe me, I pray for those every once in a while.
I know, I bet you do.
So there's that. So the Schooner Festival. You must have taken note, but I don't think any of our contributors, and no one really submitted any great photos of the two yachts that were in the harbor this past week.
No.
You're on the other side. I get it. Usually, someone on a boat sends us, photos, great photos of these pictures. I really haven't. I didn't get to see these two yachts, but everybody was talking about them.
Are they still there? Do they go?
I don't think so.
Because I didn't see them this morning when I went to go check them.
I think they're gone, but, I mean, they're big,
mega
yachts.
Wow.
And
So we don't know who owns.
There's always
one.
Speculation.
Right.
I have a, you know.
Because I know, like, Diane von Furstenberg and her husband, they come every year.
Are you kidding me right now?
No. They come every year. They park every year.
Are you fucking kidding me right now?
No. So, but I don't know the name of the boat.
No, but do you want to know what's crazy?
What?
That couldn't have been her. It could not have been her.
What do you think?
At the studio yesterday, there was a lady with the big glass. She wears the big round glasses,
yes,
right?
Yes, yeah. She's very slender and attractive. Like,
what color hair does she have?
Dark brunette.
Do you think she has any gray streaks in it?
She could right now. She could. I mean,
so we're at the studio yesterday,
oh,
and we're walking. Kate is, you know how striking Kate is, right? So everybody has to comment how beautiful Kate is. And this woman who has these glasses on comments to Kate, love your skirt. She has a sundress over her bikini.
Yeah.
She says, love your skirt. And I said, hey, honey, Diane von Furstenberg loves your skirt.
And did she
thinking say, that it couldn't possibly be Diane von Furstenberg. Imagine if it was Diane von Furstenberg.
Did she have an accent? She has a very strong accent. Diane.
I don't remember now.
Wow.
I didn't even look back to see the lady's reaction. Kate's going to freak out when I tell her this.
That's pretty funny. Wow.
And she didn't know who Diane von Furstenberg was.
She didn't?
Well, she's a little younger, you know?
Right, but still.
No, right.
Because she's still a very popular designer.
She's big.
Yeah, she's still really huge.
I didn't know she came to Gloucester every summer.
Yeah.
That's so funny. That'd be so funny.
In their beautiful yacht. Like, I mean, I know we've posted, I know I've posted a picture of it before, but I just can't remember off the top of my head.
Well, it's funny. So, three weeks ago, we went for dinner at the Rudder, and we're walking back from the Rudder. It's nighttime. It's dark out. Going to where we parked, and we walked by Joey McIntyre from the boy band.
Oh, okay.
Joey McIntyre, right. He's one of the biggest. See, she would know who Joey McIntyre was. So no, big. He was with Marky Mark. I mean, that was big band.
Yeah.
So. We pass him, and I said, oh, that was Joey McIntyre. She made me turn around. They went into the studio, but we had to go back for Joey McIntyre. She didn't give us two shits about by Diane von Furstenberg. But we didn't bother him at the studio. Thankfully, I begged her, I begged and pleaded her not to go up for an autograph and disturb him. But I apparently didn't have a problem calling out Diane von Furstenberg. Probably wasn't her.
Did she get a good look at him at the studio? Did you get a good look at
him? Yeah. Yeah, he was off in the corner, and no one was bothering him, which made me happy.
Right, that's nice.
But yeah, that's so funny.
Celebrity sightings in Gloucester.
Celebrity sightings is the spot to be. So there's that. But the yacht, one of the yachts had a plane, like a biplane or something, that like landed in Gloucester Harbor, and it had a dock on the back of the yacht.
Yacht, wow. That sounds bigger than the Diane von Furstenberg yacht that was here last year. We should, you know what, after the podcast.
I have to find a picture of Diane von Furstenberg, a recent picture of her, and just to see if it potentially could have been her.
Yeah.
Kate's going to freak out.
Yeah.
So there's that. I wanted to mention, I always mention Happy Belly because I'm a huge fan of this place. Every time I happen to go, I don't know if it's the times that I go, it's not busy. But I want it to be busy because I really like, especially their gluten-free cookies, which I talk about every week. It's my favorite cookie.
And you don't even need to eat gluten-free.
I don't need to eat gluten-free. It's regardless, it is so delicious. But they did a post today this week on Cape Ann Eats talking about their. They have a whole section of the restaurant where they encourage kids to run around, not necessarily run around. They have board games and all kinds of games for kids to play while parents can kind of have adult time.
Right. That's really, you know, especially with Charlotte getting a little bit older, that'll be nice to tell Jess and Alex about
that.
Nice
thing to do. this is a kind of a, so eight, have you ever heard of the Tagatiny program? Okay. Tagatiny program, apparently it's been around for more than 8 years, but they tag small tuna when they were caught, and they release them.
I think I read your post, right?
So you read, and then you do know about it indirectly from the post.
From you, from the boss. Right.
I thought this was really interesting. So
it's so cool.
the tuna hunter is one of the is a, you know, they're based out of Gloucester. I think they tie up at the mile marker, and they're on Wicked Tuna. So 8 years ago, as part of this program, the Tag a Tiny, they tagged a tuna fish. 2,976 days ago, from when they first tagged it,
right,
that much space in between then and when it was caught again,
right,
and they released the tuna on August 17th, 2008, and it was caught October 10th, 2016. 8 years. Wow. It was released on Stellwagen Bank, and it was caught. Capture 20 over 2,000 miles away. And when they caught it, when they released it, it was 55 inches long in 8 years.
55 inches is 6 feet, roughly. Right? Is that right?
No, 5 feet would be 60 inches.
Right, okay.
So just under 5 feet. It was 91 inches at recapture 8 years later. So it grew that much.
Okay, wow.
Pretty cool, though. And it was, I think that is so exciting.
So a tuna that's only 5 feet is called it's considered a small tuna?
You know, the tail is... Those fish are deceiving. The tails can be
so much,
the body is this much, and then that makes up of it.
So you want it to be that, you know, so that's how much it grew in 8 years.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome they have that information.
It is cool.
Yeah.
I love that.
I think tagging...
And how far it traveled.
Right. I think tagging is so, when people do it correctly, like I've seen... bad monarch tagging, the results of bad monarch tagging, where the half dead monarchs all over a field after a bunch of kids were tagging
monarchs.
But I think when the right people are tagging and banding, I think it's really so fascinating. Really so fascinating.
Yeah.
Last winter in Mexico, they found from Cape May. So after the monarchs are here in Eastern Point, then they go down to Westport, Massachusetts, then through New York City and onto Cape May in New Jersey. And they have a lot of interest on monarchs in Cape May. And they just found, this past winter, they found 15 tagged monarchs from Cape May from this past year. So, yeah. And you can't get to the butterflies. So to find 15 means that there were a lot more.
A lot more.
Yeah.
Cape May is a town with a big fishing industry, much like Gloucester.
Oh, it's beautiful there.
I've never been.
Oh, I was there when I was a child because my great grandmother had a house on the Jersey Shore.
Oh yeah.
A summer house on Bradley Beach, which wasn't too far from it, but. Yeah, it's beautiful there. It's just absolutely beautiful. They have exquisite architecture, like a lot of Queen Anne style Victorian houses. Beautiful, beautiful dunes.
A lot of Gloucester boats, back in the 70s and 60s, used to travel following the fish down, mackerel and pogies and stuff.
Really? That's all that migration.
Yeah,
right?
Tuna.
Right, whether it's fish or butterflies,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, so I bet you that a migration of butterflies that you could probably correlate it to migration of stripers. It'd be interesting to overlap.
Yeah.
To see how some of those websites that show the migration.
Yeah,
it would be interesting to see if you could predict.
Yeah.
Okay, the butterflies show up this time. How far after are we starting to see the first stripers? Before or after,
Right. Well, you know how you commented about dragonflies seeing a tremendous amount of the green darners? We're having a tremendous green darner migration right now. But then birds follow those. So hawks eat the green darners. It's all very interconnected. One theory that I have about the monarchs is that wherever there's an amazing monarch way station where they stop and gather, there's a lighthouse. Whether it's on the East Coast or the West Coast or even in the center of the country, because you don't think of it, but the Great Lakes have beautiful lighthouses too. So when they're migrating back through the center, because sometimes some years we don't see very much. Other years, they have that same year they might have a really good migration through like Lake Erie, but there's like beautiful lighthouses there, and then right below it is, you know, oftentimes wildflowers, and then that's where the monarchs congregate. So I don't know if they're using the lighthouses as beacons.
What if they use them as beacons, or if lighthouses seem to be situated on like
points,
where they would be?
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
I wonder which one.
Which one? Or combination. Combination, right.
Yeah.
Right. So interesting.
Speaking of kind of things that happen during the course of the year, you said that the local peach trees, the peaches are ready to pick.
Peaches are ripening right now. Which
Who
is
has really, peach trees around here?
I have a peach tree.
Can you bring me some peaches?
Yes, but right.
You don't have to bring me a lot. I've seen a bunch of people, they grill the peaches because there's a lot of sugar in them and they get caramelized and stuff.
Oh, delicious. Grilled peaches.
I want to try it.
Yeah, okay, I'll definitely do that. Some critter this year is eating my peaches. So not more than the squirrels. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's
But they're up high. How do they get up there?
They climb the tree.
Oh, so it's a climber. So it's got to be a squirrel. What else could it be?
Could be a raccoon.
Raccoons climb up trees?
Oh, yes.
I didn't know that.
One time,
why don't you set up a little post with a BB gun?
I really want to have a spy. I really want a spy camera.
You know, they have those ones with the infrared ones that get triggered, motion sensor triggered ones.
Yeah, I should really get one of those.
They're short money. Hunters use them.
Yeah.
I know you're not a hunter, but I mean,
the
infrared one with the black and white, you can see stuff in pretty good detail.
Yeah.
It's so interesting.
It's so interesting, right? I should get one.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know,
I'm going to look for you on Amazon. I'll find a motion sensitive one.
Okay. Right. Yeah, you do. That would be great. I'll probably get it. One time when we were in Ohio, there was this giant mulberry tree, like huge mulberry. And mulberry, you know, they were originally planted here as for silk. But it didn't work out. But so anyways, it has beautiful big fat mulberries, delicious fruit. And we would walk under that tree at night, and when the fruit was ripe in the summertime, and there'd be like 15 raccoons in the tree just eating and feasting and making a noise. And it was hysterical. Little, you know, mamas, papas, tons of little babies. Ugh. Yeah, it was really fun to see.
My grandparents had a huge mulberry tree in their yard. It grew. And then they gave us mulberry trees, all the cousins got mulberry trees. The thing grew so fast.
Yes. And they're huge too. When
they grew. It took over the back. You had to cut it down. It took off.
Right.
And it produces so much fruit. You couldn't possibly. It got to a point where like you're sick of eating mulberries, and they're delicious. I like them. Some people like them when they're sweet. Some people like them when they're sour. I love them when they're sour.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Really?
Oh,
wow.
Love them when they're sour. Yeah.
Wow.
They're great to eat right off the trees like that.
Yeah.
But then you get them they fall. And you get them, they stain everything.
Right, and you need a huge, I think you, like in Ohio, where my mother and father-in-law's house, there's a lot of fields and, you know, like a big mulberry tree in the middle of a field.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of space that they need.
Yeah.
They're not good for backyards, really.
No.
They're really not.
Yep. So I want to talk about this. I got some crap, and I think, it's not a big tin crap, but like, so I got, Kate got me this, double insulated. You know how a couple of years ago I had the double insulated coffee mugs?
Yeah.
We keep ice for 2 days.
Right.
And keep things hot for a long time.
I got one of those. They're big canisters.
And they work like unbelievably.
Yeah.
Well, they have these ones for beer cans or soda cans, whatever. And they fit and they make there's like a rubber gasket around the top when you put the can in. It fits very snugly with the can.
Okay.
And then you screw the top on and it makes a seal around the can.
Right.
And say you're at the beach or say you're cooking out or say you're outdoors.
Right.
Like when I drink a beer, I don't just chug the whole beer.
Right.
A lot of times when you're cooking or something like that, you put the beer down, then halfway through,
it's warm.
The beer gets warm.
Yeah.
If you're not chugging it.
Right.
I mean, if you're a casual drinker, you didn't.
Yeah.
I swear to God, like this she got me a Yeti one.
Right.
And I don't advise people to get the Yeti one unless you have a ton of extra money, because they're like $25 for the Yeti ones.
Okay.
But they have the knockoff ones called on Amazon or other places that are $9.99. But it's legitimately a total game changer. Like, I brought four beers to the beach yesterday.
And they all stayed cold.
Well, I kept the beers in the thing. But like, I wasn't pounding down the beers. I was spacing out my drinking. So I would drink like a couple sips. I'd put it down and might not get back to it for like 10, 15 minutes. Took another sip. Still really cold.
Oh, that's great.
Enjoyable.
Right, that's great.
I'm telling you, it's a total game changer. So on Facebook, like, some people are like, oh, if it takes you that long to drink a beer, you're doing it wrong.
Aww.
And this, that, and the other. Whatever, you know, people just have to be. maybe they're joking, maybe not, but
right,
but like,
still.
Point is, I don't go. When I say no brainer, game changer type of thing, it's a legit game changer. And for $9.99, you're going to really, really enjoy. You could be stubborn and not get one. Or you can get one and see what I'm talking about, because it is that awesome.
When I drink a beer, I usually only drink half, and I end up throwing the other half away.
Because you're not a beer drinker.
Right. Well, I like it, though. I like the taste, but I don't want to have... It's like, I like a glass of wine. I mean, I like the size of a glass of wine, but that amount of beer. And then towards the end of my half glass, I put ice in it because it's so warm.
Oh, there you go.
And I like it cold, too.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. You go to a restaurant. I went to a restaurant a couple of days ago, and I ordered a beer, and they said, do you want it in a glass, or do you want it in the can?
Yeah.
And I says, I want it in a glass if the glass is chilled, but I don't want to put a cold beer into a warm
glass. Right.
Glass.
Right.
But you'd be surprised how many people
do that. Yeah.
How many bartenders, like, I don't want a glass.
Right.
The glass is warm.
Good.
The worst is when it comes out of the dryer. The the dishwasher, and it's like 95 degrees. Great way to ruin a beer.
You know what? I'm gonna chill a glass next time I want a beer. And
It's worth it.
Yeah,
it's definitely worth it.
And maybe I won't have to put ice in it at the end.
The Texas people in Texas, our heart goes out to them dealing with it got downgraded rather quickly to Hurricane Harvey. Because they predicted it was going to be a Category 3. I think when it hit, it was Category 1, and then it got...
It was a Category 4 when it hit.
Was it?
It was a 4 when it hit.
Okay.
And then...
Quickly deteriorated.
Then it quickly... But the problem with Harvey is that...
The water,
it's staying in one place. It's circulating around and around and around. And they were already having a super... You know, they were already flooded.
Texas is flat.
Yeah, it's just flat as can be. And so I went online because I was curious, like, how this disaster is going to compare to, like, Hurricane Katrina. So Louisiana, because Houston is really hard hit. They had 1,000 rescues overnight last night. So Katrina, when it hit New Orleans, the population was about 400,000 people. And Houston is a city of 2.3 million.
Cool.
So I think it has the potential to be... even more devastating than Katrina was. And then, have you been hearing about that town, Rockport, Texas? They're on the coast, and they were super hard hit too. But it's just sticking in my mind because it's Rockport, Texas.
Right, of course, yeah.
And they have a population of 10,500, whereas our Rockport only... Did you know our Rockport only has a population of 6,500?
I've had no idea.
That's so tiny.
His class is close to 30,000.
Right. Yeah, I had no idea.
I had no idea.
6,952, actually.
Wow.
So to compare Houston, which has 2.3 million, right? New York City has 8.5 million people, and Boston only has... Where's my Boston number? I thought I wrote that down. Well, anyways, Boston is 673,000.
Uh-huh.
So New York is huge. But Houston is like 5 times as big as Boston. So can you imagine trying to evacuate?
No. It's all low-lying, too. There's no kind of hills to hide.
Right. And, you know, Boston isn't that high-lying either. You know?
But what we don't have to worry about here so much, we have bad blizzards, but
That's what you said.
So we just basically, our big thing is for hurricanes,
right?
They require warm water,
right,
to intensify or to keep going. Because whenever they hit the land, they fall apart. By the time, they could be like a really, really intense hurricane coming up the coast. But you know how the Cape goes out and kind of protects us.
Right.
Like below the Cape, there's some bodies of really warm water. But above, generally, we're a lot less. So we're lucky that way. You know what I don't understand? I don't understand several things. I don't understand, and you know, it's, I don't understand when people are in places that continually get wrecked and stay there, like Plum Island,
right?
And they build huge mansions,
right?
Or even a small, if you, purchased a small place, unless you have money to burn, like I don't understand why you put yourself there, right? I don't understand why people live like right
in,
now
in floodplains, you know,
floodplains, but not just that. Choose to live where you want to live, because right now Gloucester, Massachusetts, I know dozens of people that hire people that cannot get people to work for them, that pay huge money,
right,
like a pay a living wage,
right,
and can't get people to come in to work for them
in, so like on their homes or
to work in jobs like regular, you don't have non-skilled labor. Like not even skilled labor.
Okay.
Like willing to pay people good money to work and can't find help. So.
Like chefs, like cooks in restaurants.
Cooks in restaurants, perfect example.
Alex is having a terrible time. They hired somebody and didn't even show up the first day on the job. So now Alex is back to working 70 hours a week. 60, you know what I mean?
There's a very popular restaurant in town that I talked to the head chef. And he used to be a head chef at a big-time restaurant in the south end of Boston. I go, how's it going? He goes, you know, he goes, the biggest thing is the help. He goes, if we lost a line cook in Boston at our restaurant in Boston,
right,
within a day, there'd be five guys lined up. We can't find anyone to fill these jobs.
Yeah.
So my point is, I don't understand why people stay, like, in, like, crime infested like ghettos,
right,
or where there's bad drug problem, the kids are at risk, like how do you not pick up, like there's murder outside of your home,
right,
how do you not pick up and go and go work someplace,
right? See, I think like if you put yourself in their shoes, they don't have even enough money. I mean, they have to worry about money just to put the barest minimum food on the table, right? So it takes even a little bit of extra money to like, I know what I would do if I were in that situation. I would pick up and move and, you know, starve for a while or whatever. But I totally empathize because I feel like when money is so tight and finances are so tight, you don't have room to make choices. You don't have room to, you know, like where are you going to go that's, you know, cheaper than where you are, where you can live, and you know what I mean? Like,
I'm not talking about.
I think it's hard. I think it's really.
I'm not talking about just an average, you know, urban place. I'm talking about a place where there's.
I know.
Where
I know.
There's bad crime and your kids are at risk every day they go out.
Right, and then say like you in a spiraling downward, you know, financial mess, and you can't get an apartment because you don't have a good credit score or whatever the situation is. You know what I mean? That apartments aren't available to you to rent. You have to come up with first months, last months. You know what I mean? And for people who are just living on the edge, I just don't see where that, you know, extra.
When I just see it from the perspective of the like employers that are.
Yeah,
like begging people
like,
to work.
Like we need more, you know, we need more, for example, more cooks in Gloucester. Just take that example. But the rents are so high, right? rents are high.
Yeah, you don't have to live in Gloucester, though, to be a chef in Gloucester.
Yeah, but where's what place is less expensive than Gloucester?
Salem.
Salem is cheaper? I don't think so. Do you think so?
Oh, I definitely think it's cheaper, yeah. I think that there's stuff available. Probably places in Beverly.
I'm just saying it's hard to... Like,
yeah, you're not going to live in East Gloucester. I hear some people, you know, that beat this drum and they say, oh, you know, they feel entitled that they should be able to afford a place in East Gloucester. Well, you know what? Maybe you can't afford to live in East Gloucester, but maybe you can afford to live in downtown.
Right.
I don't know.
And then make downtown better.
And then make downtown better.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, when Tom and I started out, we lived in the South End, right on the, you know, right on the edge of urban redevelopment. Mm-hmm. And it was, you know, it was very dicey where we lived. Very, very dicey.
Yeah.
But we made it better.
There you go.
Anyways, but so these folks in Texas are, you know, it is, those rising sea levels are also contributing to this massive global climate change, and rising sea levels are contributing to this. So... and a lot of people are in denial about that. They live in a floodplain now because of global climate change, but they're in denial about climate change. So, anyways, I feel really badly for the people.
I feel bad
Houston.
For them as well. It's terrible.
2.3 million people live in that city.
Well, big impact.
Yes.
Big impact. I haven't seen that. I haven't turned on the news, so I haven't really. I kind of been out to lunch. Have the videos that have been coming in seem as catastrophic as New Orleans? Because that was pretty catastrophic.
Yeah. What they were showing video footage on CNN this morning of people in neck-high water trying to get to higher ground. I mean, 1,000 rescues already, and they only have trucks. They're called water rescue trucks, and they can't even get in because it's too high for the trucks, so they need boats. So I guess a whole bunch of boats are coming from other cities. They need boats now to rescue these people. And they're saying, don't go in your attic, but go on top of your roof.
Oh, God.
So, because a lot of these story houses are only one story high.
Yeah. So, a heart goes out to them. Cafe Brew and Spirits opened in the former space of Cafe Dolce in the West End, 3 Main Street.
Yeah.
We haven't been yet.
We haven't been. But we want to give them a shout out anyway.
We want to give them a shout out anyway.
Yeah.
So people could check that out. Did Catherine go there? Somebody did a post.
Oh, really? Already?
Of pictures of it.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I want to say it's probably Catherine. She's been all over the place.
Catherine's
been producing some great content lately.
She really does.
She's on top of things.
She really does.
Cat Ryan.
Anyways, the way that it sounds like they decorated it with driftwood and things like that. It sounds very intriguing. I'm looking forward to going.
But let me see something. Let me see.
So I think, I have to look at my notes, but it was opened by a father and son team. Did you know that? The father's a former evangelical minister. Did you read that?
Yeah. Okay. So Catherine did this post. It looks like it's going to be really nice, a nice addition to the scene.
I want to look out that window that was formerly covered up. I guess
what they have the back window was covered up.
Yes. Yeah.
Craziness.
That is crazy.
Overlooking the harbor.
Right.
I have to go there.
Yeah.
Some sad news. Toad Hall in Rockport is closing. That was an institution.
Yeah.
Can you give a little bit of the background of how that place operated?
It was part of an umbrella, and I think that the name of it was Essex County Ecology Center. So it was run as a nonprofit, and every time they did make a profit, they would donate the funds to a local conservation group or project. And so over the years, they donated, you know, tens of thousands of dollars. But I think in the last couple of years, they haven't been able to. And it's just been very, as have so many bookstores gone the way of Amazon, it's was impossible to stay in business in this climate. So we were talking about this earlier. We hope somebody with a bookstore vision.
Some big, you know, there are, you never know. This, you know, someone came through with a buttload of money for Shaolin Lu.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
I mean, that was...
Well, there was a lot of people raising money over a period, because Tom was involved in that, and that was a lot of grant writing. That was a lot of... That was a long-term effort raising money. So...
I didn't realize. I thought that there was one big... I thought there was at least one really big benefactor.
The Shaolin, the person that it's named after, right?
Yeah.
Yes, that was also. But there was a lot of fundraising that went on there. Yeah.
I didn't know.
It would be so nice to have that with the Shaolin Lu Center and continue Toad Hall as a bookstore. I hope it doesn't turn into condos or something like that, you know?
Well, I'm not going to say I hope it doesn't turn into condos, because whatever it is, if they can't make it, they can't make it. I just hope they can make it.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to, like, try to rile... I'm not the person that riles people up to...
No, I'm not saying bad things about condos. Yeah. Anyways, I would like to say that they were so supportive of me with my book. They always have my book on the shelf, and, you know, they're very, very, very supportive of local authors. So it's another...
Well, it was funny because Hannah Kimberly just came out with her book.
Right.
And it was published. It was a legit book, which got a lot of press and a lot of people very excited. And I kept asking her, do they have it at Toad Hall? Do you have it? And she said no. And I was like, scratching my head. And now it makes sense.
Right.
If they're closing,
they're
not
going to
take on all
right.
this stuff.
Right. Yeah.
Sad.
Yeah.
Cool. Bookstore of Gloucester, still plugging them.
Yeah.
Still
that
plugging.
It is amazing. It is amazing. And it's, you know.
Well, you said it earlier. The population in Gloucester is how many?
30,000. Well, you said how much? You thought it was 30.
It is close to 30. It fluctuates at just over and just under.
Under. But yep. Rockport is 6,900 people. So.
6,900.
Yeah, right.
So.
And I don't like the, you know, in little seaport communities like Martha's Vineyard has a super famous bookstore, The Grapes of, I forget what it's called. But it's a fabulous, fun, amazing bookstore, and it's always packed. But the population in Martha's Vineyard. It's right in Vineyard Haven, which is where all the boats come in, and then in the population of Martha's Vineyard swells to like tens of thousands, and I don't think that happens in Rockport in the summertime.
Not like that.
Not like that.
And they probably, just on the newspapers that they sell.
Yeah.
So very sad. Along the same lines, they're probably contributing to the demise of Toad Hall. Amazon is buying Whole Foods.
Oh, yeah, and already they're lowering prices.
They're lowering prices.
So
here's the question.
Their stock went up, and Kroger's and a lot of Publix, their stock is dropped. Walmart stock dropped because of the
fear. Here's the question.
The fear.
I still can't see myself buying any produce or any meat online.
Yeah.
I just don't see it. I mean.
I don't want to do that. To be honest with you, I like touching and feeling and looking at produce.
Looking, especially.
And finding the best peppers or the best tomatoes of the group.
It's kind of part of the thing.
Right. I'm not going to, like, just, you know.
Kate, have you ever, would you consider, like I know, like, say a super busy mom and stuff, and you wouldn't do it.
No, I
can't see. I would never do it. I mean, we had Peapod.
It's like, you know, your products, but like the rice cakes that I always buy and the pretzels for Connor, you know.
Those kind of things.
Cheese.
Yeah.
But
I almost feel like, you know, then you're like, so think about, then there's a bunch of other little obstacles, right?
But I know.
A lot of the summer, they're going to deliver it and perishables.
Right.
And you don't know exactly, like, is there anything more annoying than, like, waiting for something, like, for, like, say, an appliance guy or the cable guy, and you're stuck at home because you can't let things you can't be there for the window that they say they're going to be there?
They're going to be there, and then it just sits there in the heat or whatever.
So I don't know how.
Yeah.
I know
a lot of young people who do like getting those deliveries, like groceries delivered and stuff like that, and produce comes in them, and, you know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
Does Stop and Shop, do you know if they still have Peapod?
I have no
idea.
Because
they were doing that.
Yeah. A long time ago,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, they still do it.
They still do it.
I never knew it.
Yeah.
We did it at my house in Hamilton, and I don't know why we got away from it for some reason. I think it probably had to do with
the window of time that they come.
The window of time, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't have a problem getting, like, ordering paper towels, but that isn't necessarily coming from Whole Foods.
Well, you know what part of the Whole Foods experience for me, too, the fun part, is, like, going and trying different cheeses and stuff like that. Mm. Like, they have all these wonderful samples available.
Yeah, it's a whole scene.
So
it's a destination.
Destination.
And also, like, if I'm driving back from Cambridge, you know, once a week, I stop there and I get my lunch there. And then I get
often on the road.
Yeah.
Instead of going to, like, crappy.
Right. You always know you can get super fresh, wholesome, delicious lunch there. Salads.
Very expensive salads.
And then, you know, clean bathrooms. I mean, it's a great...
You gotta poop. Look for a Whole Foods.
It's a great stop when you're on the road.
Yeah, you gotta go.
I know where, like, all of them are in New England.
Yes, yeah, I know where quite a few are, too.
After you have your poop tea, that's your move?
Joseph.
Poop tea. Do you do poop tea?
What?
Poop tea?
Poop tea.
Tea smooth. That makes you poop?
No, I never.
Big fan. Number one fan of poop tea.
What's in it? Like, what herbs are in
Dandelion.
It?
Dandelion. Oh. That's all I know.
Yeah. Huh.
Yeah.
So there you go. Get your poop tea at Whole Foods. One-stop shopping.
Get a Market Basket.
You can pick up and you can drop off all at one shop.
Where is so what's the name of the brand? Smooth tea. Like,
I don't know. It's like in the white box of organics.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they have a lot of different ones, like Sleepy Time and
Let It Rip. Is that one?
No.
All right, GlossyCast 239 is in the books. Thank you for coming, Kim and Katers.